It's the Shipping Container talking to you on a Tuesday. We were just talking off air about the Jim Barry song. The whole banger dropped yesterday. We just had a little snippet of it on the internet, but now the whole banger is out. I feel like Billy and I are on Team Jim Barry here. Tony, what do you think of the song?
I like Jim Barry. I respect Jim Barry and his work. I've been watching him since I was, I don't even know how old. I love the hook. I think it's very catchy. I don't love the verse with the sound effects in the background, you know, going back to every word he says. So it's a nice song.
Greg?
It has a very old timey feel to it. It almost feels like something that is it sort of like a mild hip hoppy version of the Dolphin Fight song from the 60s, from the 70s. Miami has, you know, it's like a street version of that where it's like, I don't know.
I feel like it's Hawaiian, right? He's going for the Hawaiian theme.
So you think, Greg, that this is going to be something people are going to be singing in the stadium for decades to come, like the other Dolphin song?
I would not bet money on that, but you never know. Jim Barry, by the way, is an actual singer. Like, he performs live shows in clubs. I think he's even put out albums.
Yeah, we've done that. Like, we're doing it again. Like, we're acting like this is the first time today again, like yesterday. We've done this a bunch. Jim Barry has a few albums. I don't think he has original songs. I think he covers songs. That's okay. Kind of his shtick.
Well, he has the Tua song.
Well, I think the Tua might be his first original, because all the other stuff we played in the past, he like is covers of other songs.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was well known.
Have you ever seen him live, Greg?
I have not had that pleasure, no.
No,
what kind of tea are you drinking there?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to get into. Greg actually is making an effort today to improve his voice. Greg, what is the tea called?
It's called, it's an herbal blend called Throat Coat, COAT. And I feel like there's an endorsement possibility for me if it works. You know, coat, some people mispronounce my name, coat. So Throat Coat, Throat, COTE. Roy gets it. He's smiling. I love that background in Roy's house. It looks like he's in like an Aspen lodge with that stone wall in the background.
Thank you, Greg.
How are the slopes today, Roy?
They're rocky.
He's not wrong. Like, it is kind of what I imagine would be in like a Denver, Colorado hotel. Like, you know.
I feel like there's a good opportunity here. If it does work, you just buy a bunch of the Throat Coats. And then you just repackage them, mark it up, and rebrand it Throaty Cody. And then you sell those.
That's not a bad idea, Billy.
Boom.
Wow, careful. I'm going to give you a little cut of that, a little vigorish.
Now,
finder's fee.
Now, Dad, as you're drinking this coat tea, are you, like, feeling more clear? Oh, yeah, like, I didn't actually do that on purpose.
That was good. I pantomimed the diddum.
I didn't honestly know what I said until you did that. I was like, oh, wait, Coty, that sounds, well, is it helping, Greg, is what I'm asking.
It's okay. You know, I'm so used to coffee that in the morning that I'm sort of jonesing for coffee, but it's pretty good. You know, it's tea. Tea is sort of a poor facsimile of coffee, let's be honest.
Do you do straight coffee when you do coffee? Because maybe what you should have done is you should have weaned off. You should have done coffee, then gone to decaf to still have, like, the taste, but you missed the kick. And then you just go to like the warm tea because you're not addicted to the caffeine anymore because you've been drinking decaf, and then it's like a smoother transition.
Well, I'm a caffeine fan.
I was going to say, he's not trying to get off of it. He's trying to do more caffeine.
Right. I want extra caff. I want super mega caff is what I want, not decaf. That kind of thing.
Roy's a big tea guy.
I'm a big tea guy, yes. I'm not big on herbal tea, but yes, I'm a tea guy.
Wait, what's your tea of choice, Roy? Yeah.
We bought this lemon cake tea that tastes exactly like lemon cake. That was really good. It's usually like Tazo tea, which is what you usually find at a Starbucks or whatever, but they sell it at Publix. That's pretty good.
I mean, lemon cake tea sounds pretty bad. I have to be perfectly frank.
Well, you haven't tried it yet, so you know. Once you try it, I think you'll like it.
Okay.
I drink calming tea sometimes when I'm like really stressed out, and I had some yesterday, And today I woke up in just feeling off. I don't feel myself. I feel kind of weird. My vision was blurry, but then I started thinking back, like, why is that? And I think it's because I put in these eye drops just before I went to bed and I fell asleep. And I think they created like a coat, like a little film over my eye. I don't know if that's a thing that happens, but I went and I just, like, you know, the thing where you go under the faucet and you put a bunch of water in your hand. And you usually, like, you could drink it to, like, if you're brushing your teeth, you don't have a cup or whatever. I did one of those, except I turned it into, like, a thing where I put it right up against my eye and I squeezed it and I shot it into my eyes. I did that into each eyeball to try to wash off what I thought was this film. And it seemed to have worked in terms of, like, the blurriness. But I also just feel kind of off today. So I don't know if I want to drink tea or if I want to drink coffee or what I want to do, because it could be, like, stress or anxiety that has me feeling like this. In which case, I feel like caffeine is not the solution, right? But if I feel kind of groggy and a little bit like, eh, then do I want to drink tea that's going to be calming me down even more? I don't know what I'm feeling, but I know it's not right.
Billy, what is a calming tea? Like, what's the calming ingredient in there? A little THC? What do you got in there? Because I've never heard of calming tea.
It's not THC. Let me go get it from my cupboard, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's called dilo, and it's like linden leaves. And it's a calming, I guess, herb. Let me find it. I'll give me 1 second.
Chris, you don't seem to me like a tea guy.
The funny thing is I do like, I'm not a big, like, morning hot tea guy. I do like an unsweet tea. I'm not a big sweet guy. You look at me, you think I'd be a sweet guy. I like unsweet tea. Like, if I'm at a restaurant for lunch on a Saturday afternoon and I'm not, like, drinking, I'm not gonna go soda. I probably won't go water because, like, you know, we're at lunch. Let's jazz it up. And I'll get, you know, let me get an unsweet tea, and I'll put a little sweetener in it. I don't pull the full packet of sweetener, like maybe just a little sweetener. I don't like overly sweetened tea.
Mm. Yeah, I think Arizona iced tea is the best iced tea.
Arizona iced tea, like back in the day, gas station, like raspberry, like I'm a little skeptical about all these hot teas, like this calming tea, this throat tea. They might all be the same teas and they just put different, like, labels on it. Billy, what's up with your tea?
All right, so it's made by Badia, this particular one that I found. See, I like it's linden leaves.
I like their spices.
And I thought that it was 20 bags for, you know, 99 cents or $1.99. I think it's $1.99. I thought it was 20, but it's 25. So this is a great deal. As you can see here, no caffeine. So that helps you calm. And it says soothing relaxant on here. And then the properties, it says soothing, helps relax, good before sleep. Directions, use one bag per cup before boil or after you boil the water. And the ingredients are just linden leaves and orange leaves. So, you know, it's a very natural thing, no caffeine. Just put it in a little cup, hot water a couple times, leave it in there 5 minutes, drink it up.
I'm just thinking about this Badia company. This team, this is one of these companies that just runs the grocery store. This Steve Badia is probably banking somewhere.
His name is not Steve.
Wow.
Soothing and relaxing. Soothing and relaxing. It sounds like a laxative.
It's also gluten free. So don't worry about the gluten. No gluten in this.
I don't know about other tea drinkers, but I don't have the patience to properly steep my tea. Like, I can't wait 5 minutes. I'm sorry. What I do is I leave it in for like a minute and a half, and then I squeeze the tea bag to hurry all of the
wet
tea, like, elements into
a wet tea bag. You squeeze?
Maybe. Oh yeah.
With your fingers inside the cup?
No, I lift the bag out of the cup and I squeeze it over the cup. It's unsanitary, but I'm the one drinking it. So
can you do it now?
Yeah, you can.
Can you squeeze your bag for us right now?
Yeah, let's see the form.
Can we see it?
Yeah, absolutely. Hang on.
You know you can use a spoon, Greg.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
Be gentle.
Right?
Be gentle. You're an old man.
I guess so.
There you go.
Oh, good form.
I'm practiced.
Tony, I think this question is more for Tony and Greg because I don't think that Roy or Chris have passed it. Have you guys passed the Badia, like, headquarters/factory in Doral?
Yes.
Greg, have you passed it on your way to the Herald or anything?
You're muted. You're muted.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm certain that I have, but I've never noticed it.
You would notice it because, and I'm sure Tony's noticed this, and this is what I want to ask you about, they have a field goal post in front of the building. Unless they have since removed it, I'm assuming it's because they have some sort of partnership with the Dolphins or something, but they have a field goal post in front of their headquarters in Doral, which seems a bit out of place. The only other place I've seen a field goal post on display outside of a field or stadium or whatever is outside of the stadium hotel down the street from Hard Rock Stadium.
But it's like a quintessential Miami company, right? Like, I don't know if they have Badia in other places.
But really? Those spices aren't in grocery stores all around the country?
I think somewhat are, right? I don't know where you could buy them.
Pepe Badia, by the way. I looked it up because I said Steve Badia. That's just my generic go-to name. But it's Pepe Badia is the owner.
Is that actually his name, or you made?
Yeah, I swear to God, I typed in Badia owner, and it says Pepe Badia is the majority owner and president of the spice company.
Yeah, right. I don't know if they have them in Georgia, right? Like probably Florida they have, just because they're big in the state. But if you keep going further north, I think it turns into like McCormick and like other spice things. I don't know if Badia has gotten the countrywide casing that they should.
Well, McCormick's a national brand, though.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. Like more stores probably somewhere else will have national brands or other regional brands. And I think Badia is a very Florida-centric brand.
Ooh, they have on their website a flavor of the month. What do you guys think it is?
Is it a Sazon or is it like...
Smoked paprika.
It's got to be pumpkin something October.
I don't know that this is working on their website. Oh, wait, no. October. Their flavor of the month is... Any guesses? Any final guesses?
Time.
No?
Pumpkin's a good guess.
I'll stick with mine.
It's minced black garlic and water. Wow. How about that, guys?
Hold on.
This new and exciting flavor is a must in every kitchen. Black garlic is a rare delicacy, and its savory flavor will produce wonder in every bite. This enticing taste will complement your regular garlic or replace it with the perfect balance of roasted and sweet flavor characteristic of black garlic. Badia black garlic, minced in water, is the key ingredient for the chef at home. I'm not going to keep reading. This is a lot.
So it's a jar of minced garlic.
That's right. That's their spice of the month. And good news, guys. It's October 27th, which means we are 5 days away from November's spice of the month.
But hey.
Can we get a sneak preview?
Yeah,
can we get a sneak preview for November?
It's not on here yet. It's a surprise.
Wow.
They're good.
And everybody's going to have to go to badiaspices.com and figure that out on November 1st. And if you miss it, because that's a Sunday, we will give it to you on Monday. Badia Spice of the Month of November, coming Monday, November 2nd, the local hour.
Be like clove or star anise or some sort.
Ooh, star anise. Star anise is underrated, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know. I want to know what other random products Badia has, because like they got their spices, like everybody knew that. I didn't know
herbs and spices.
I didn't know they're all doing tea. I guess maybe because it's herbal tea, that's why they feel like they have, you know, a right for that space. But I bet you they have also like plastic cups. I'm telling you, these companies that are in grocery stores, they just start making random because they want Pepe over here is chilling on a beach, just with all these products.
Well, I don't know if you know it, Chris, but Badia is the soul of cooking. It says so here on their website. And they have all kinds of things. What kind of products are you looking for?
I don't want to like crush.
Chris, they ventured into frozen foods. They have stuff in the frozen aisle that
you can get.
Oh, really?
Guys, the Publix paprika, not much different than the Badia paprika.
No,
and it's like 50 cents.
Don't do that, man.
You're telling me there's a company that makes Sazon completo than Badia? Get out of here.
No.
I want to see Badia like really expand crazily, where 5 years from now, you know, you're driving a Badia coupe, you know, everybody's, it's like I'm driving a 2018, you know, Badia SUV, that type of thing.
We'll get closer and closer.
Baking goods, canned vegetables, cans and grinders, coconut milk and water, food coloring, health items, hot sauces, a Mexican line, nuts and seeds, olive oils, organic sauces and marinades, salt, seasoning blends, all-purpose things, adobo, complete seasoning, gourmet blends, side dishes, soup bases and cubes, shrimp, spices and herbs, and teas.
And bikes.
How about that? Yeah.
Full spectrum there, Chris.
And they have a video game.
Man, how do we get, I want to get a monopoly. Like, I just want a spot in these grocery stores so I can just start putting random products.
You have to be good at something. Yeah, and then once you're good at something, you can expand and be good at other things or just at other things. But you're so good at that something that everyone's like, oh, that something is good. And this has the same name of that something that's good. Let me try it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mr. Sony, for example. What do you think Sony's first product was? Who knows? But they make everything now.
It was probably like bottled water, but now they're like making like, you know, Prada, like PlayStation. PlayStation's Sony's biggest thing, right? I mean, it's got to be. Greg?
I don't know anything about Sony, really. I've never bought a Sony product in my life. Not that I'm boycotting it. I'm just unfamiliar with it. But you said something earlier that struck me because I agree with it. I think a spice is a spice is a spice. In other words, I'll buy Publix salt, you know, rather than Morton salt and save, you know, 49 cents. I don't discern the difference between, you know, your pepper and his pepper, that type thing.
I'm a big Publix brand guy. Like, there's not many things that I'll usually just go to the Publix version of it just because it's cheaper.
Nah, pick and choose, you know. If I want a pepper grinder, you know, with actual peppercorns, I can get, like, McCormick or anything. If I want regular salt, I can get Publix. If I want special salt, I can get Lowry's, you know, Old Bay, like that, you know. Good situation, how I'm feeling.
There's a nice thing. Once you have your spice cabinet set up, it's nice to just every once in a while take a stroll down the spice aisle. What do I need? What's a spice I don't have? Let's freshen up this spice cabinet. It's one of the underrated things of homeowning and cooking.
It is
salt. Yeah.
I every once in a while, like twice a year, I spend an hour cleaning and organizing and actually alphabetizing my whole spice racks. And that lasts a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're looking for the paprika right before the pepper, and it's somewhere else entirely.
Your wife, huh?
It doesn't work.
Arlene? Are we blaming Arlene for this? I mean, I feel like you're putting them back in the right spot. It's got to be somebody.
No, I'm blaming myself, but it's a good intention. It's a good intention.
Keep it in the locker room, Greg. I like that. What are you guys' thoughts on Himalayan pink salt?
I currently have that.
I don't use regular white salt. I use pink salt.
Isn't flavor the same?
Yeah.
But it's not pink.
The pink salt looks fancy. I my wife bought some and I've been using it, and I do feel
healthier, more elite. Which I don't know. I don't know exactly how that becomes healthier because it's the same thing.
It has minerals in there probably that makes it healthier than regular iodized salt, you know.
Or sea salt. I have a rosemary salt that I use on steak. It's fantastic.
See, that's just rosemary mixed with regular salt.
Right, that's just salt and rosemary mixed together.
Right, yeah, but it's good.
Good concept, though.
But if you guys know, like, all these, like, if you guys have, like, onion powder and garlic powder, like, almost all of those things have salt in them. Like, that's, so I usually salt after. Like, I'll put all my spices on, give it a little tasty poo, and then, you know, the salt comes if it's needed after that, usually for me.
Yeah, usually you salt the taste afterwards, yeah, exactly.
Greg, what do you do in terms of your alphabetizing? If you have garlic powder and granulated garlic, which do you put first? Do you put just the garlic that's granulated, or do you put the garlic powder?
Well, I have granulated powder and granulated garlic powder and garlic salt
Perfect
in my
question.
Cupboard. So naturally, powder nudges salt alphabetically. You know.
Why don't you just divide it by genre, like between herbs and salts and peppers?
Oh, yeah.
It gets too complicated, man. Too complicated. I got to go alphabetical, you know.
But if you do it by color, color-coded.
Color-coded.
All your spices are like red or over here.
Yeah, no, there's no real way to organize it. That's, you know, that's why it lasts a couple of weeks. And then I'm like, where's my paprika, you know?
When we come back, sports. And we're back. Now, I do have one sports topic I want to get to in our Greg Cody Show mandated plug that Greg Cody has been texting me about this entire start of the local hour. Now, we had a heated debate about Tua and Brian Fitzpatrick and the timing of the move. Greg, you want to kind of set it up for the audience and what your take was?
Yeah, we raged on the podcast about this, and I wrote a column about it that people can read. But to digest it, Ryan Fitzpatrick's reaction to being benched was fascinating. It was unfiltered. He expressed disappointment and frustration, and he thought he was playing well. The timing of it was such that it was sort of strange. He referred to himself as being fired. He said, "I'm heartbroken." I mean, he was very strong in saying all of this stuff. And my opinion is that that heaps more pressure on this whole situation than there otherwise would have been. It puts pressure on Brian Flores, the coach, to have been right about not only about this decision, but more so about the timing of it. And it puts more pressure on the rookie Tua Tagovailoa to show right away that he's an appreciable upgrade over Fitzpatrick. And I don't think Fitzpatrick was ill-intentioned on this. I think he just meant nothing but to express himself honestly. But I think the result is that it does sort of torque up the pressure this week.
And my take was that this is all bigger than Ryan Fitzpatrick. And we can't get tricked into like falling for these last two games with Ryan Fitzpatrick and thinking, oh no, do we have something here with Fitzpatrick? Should we put this off? I think that Flores is right to just say, look, I'm not going to get caught in the emotion of these last two impressive wins, one of which against the Jets. So it's not that impressive. And this is bigger than that. I'm going to risk this potential playoff run with Ryan Fitzpatrick for just the development of Tua. It's bigger than Ryan Fitzpatrick. I agree that that was a little heartwarming, that sound of Ryan Fitzpatrick. But in the big scheme of things, I don't think it's going to affect Dolphin fans and be like, Dolphins fans aren't going to be clamoring for Ryan Fitzpatrick if he has a couple bad games. It's going to be more Justin Herbert than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, the problem is because of COVID, there were no preseason games, so Tua never got any reps against other teams. So this is really a filling out process, you know, for Tua. So let's just hope that this week that he does well. Otherwise, they could go back to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And you can argue, like, the lack of preseason games affects young rookie quarterbacks, but then you look at Joe Burrow, who's thrown for 5 300-yard games, 1 400-yard game, albeit he doesn't have a great team around him, which is why they had the number one pick. And then you look at Justin Herbert, who came in for Tyrod Taylor, and he's looked, you know, set the league on fire, looking like somebody who can be in this league for 10, 15 years if he wants, if he doesn't get hurt. So I think the front office for the Dolphins, and Greg, probably you'd have a better barometer of this, they're looking around the league and saying, look, like, those guys are producing at a really high level, and we need our guy we at least need to see what's going on here. Because if you keep Ryan Fitzpatrick in the game, and yeah, they'll go 7-9, and okay, you got like a 15th pick in the draft and everybody's happy, but you don't know what you have with Tua, and there's another year of him trying to figure out if he's the guy.
Right. The issue isn't Tua as an eventuality. The issue is all timing. And I think part of Ryan Fitzpatrick's frustration is that he is told to explain the switch. He's told, we feel like Tua gives us the best chance to win. Well, he's hearing that after he's won two games in a row and three of the past four in a four-game run, as good as any I can recall in the recent Dolphins history, meaning the past several years. The only loss in there was to then unbeaten Seattle, where they were very competitive. So Fitzpatrick is engineering and piloting a pretty impressive four-game run that's gotten them back into the playoff chase, and that's when he's told, you're fired. And again, I'm in favor of the move. I think they're good to go to Tua now, but there is another side of it that makes it a little bit controversial.
It seems like, because of what you're saying, how Fitzpatrick had these two games back, like, this was something that was decided at some point, hey, we're going to put him in the week after the bye, so he has two straight weeks working with the first team. And I'm wondering when that is, if you have any sense of when it is that they decided, hey, we're going to put him out there after the bye week. I mean, I'm assuming it's not before the season, hey, we're going to have Fitzpatrick play five games, go to the bye, and then he's going to start week seven. They must have seen something along the way, whether it be like week four or week five, or like, you know what, he's almost ready. Let's give Ryan another start or two, and then after the bye, we'll transition over to Tua.
Yes. The reason I don't like to second guess these kind of decisions too much is that they see Tua all the time. They see him in walkthroughs. They see him in practices. They see him in meetings. They see him when he's off the field. You know, they judge readiness in a million different ways that we can't. And I think the plan all along was to start him around midseason, and it all depended on when the bye fell. And, NFL teams are slaves to the bye week. You know, traditionally, the bye week is when you see major moves, when you see coaches being fired, when you see quarterback changes. And so the Dolphins did that. And when they put Tua in the last couple of minutes of that Jets game, the writing was then on the wall. When you do that, when you play him for the first time on the doorstep of a bye week, that's when Fitzpatrick, who's been in the league 1,000 years, should have realized, uh-oh, I can expect that call from Brian Flores.
Are we acting like we didn't like the emotion from Ryan Fitzpatrick? Because we're so programmed to listen, especially being in the media, for quarterback speak and for, hey, you know, I'm just here to do my job and whatever the coach thinks and this and that. Like, we've heard that for so long, and him to go off the cuff and say, no, man, like, this hurts. Like, I got benched. I'm basically fired. I'm never going to work for this team again as a starting quarterback. Like, it was refreshing for me to see somebody with actual emotion in that position.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I think the only thing we're disagreeing on here is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, does Ryan Fitzpatrick's reaction, that honest thing that Tony was just talking about, does that amplify the pressure? And I don't think it does. I think this Tua thing, the fans were going to be nervous, wanting him to be good. Like, the pressure is already on Tua to be great. I just don't think that that honest moment from Ryan Fitzpatrick, outside of it just being a cool moment, I don't think that that, like, changes anything for Tua. Like, it's still – the pressure is max level. We need this guy to be the answer. Like, I don't think it was changed at all by Ryan's comments. That's – I feel like we're all kind of saying the same stuff, and that's the only thing, Dad, that I disagreed with you about.
Well, I loved Ryan Fitzpatrick's honesty. I did and do. But the reality of it is that you have your backup quarterback sort of – begrudgingly giving up the football. Let's be honest. I mean,
which is what you would want.
Yeah, but he didn't. The way he said it,
he just said it like a guy who's 36. Like, damn, this could be it. This sucks. I was playing well.
He said it like a guy who feels like he's more qualified to be the starting quarterback right now, and he may be right. And the fact
I took that more as just I took it more as like my mortality. And I'm sad because this could be it. More than – I deserve it more than Tua.
The fact that he said it aloud puts the onus on the rookie quarterback that might not have been there. Imagine what
– It was going to be there. It was going to be there. Are you kidding me? The pressure wasn't going to be on Tua?
Sure it was. Sure it was. But the pressure would have been less if the backup quarterback isn't expressing his disappointment and his broken heart over being benched. And that should be undeniable.
The thing that was weird about it is that beforehand, everything Ryan Fitzpatrick said publicly was, you know, I want to mentor him. I know this is going to be his team. I'm just kind of here as a, you know, filler until it's his time. So it seemed like he had accepted what this role was. And then, you know, even when he had that great game and they put into it at the end, he's leading the crowd and cheering and pumping up the crowd. And then all of a sudden, the thing happens that he's been telling us he'd been preparing for the entire time. And he's like, well, not super okay with it right now. Like, I'm devastated. It's like, well, you seem cool with it all of this time, and all of a sudden you don't seem ready for this to be happening.
To Greg's point, though.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Billy.
Well, no, this has nothing to do with that.
Oh, okay, really quick, and then I'll throw it back to you. To Greg's point, though, it's like when you're working with somebody at an office and they get, you know, a promotion, or they get something that you were in line for, that you had a responsibility that you had that was taken away, and all of a sudden you're in the same room with them day in and day out. And Greg, obviously, you know about being in a quarterback room. That's like a brotherhood. That's people are supposed to be on the same page every single day and marching to the same drumbeat. And if you're Tua looking over your shoulder and Fitzpatrick's, you know, sitting back there, like kind of leaning back and saying, hey, one slip up and I'm back in. I hope you know that. It does create a contentious environment in that QB room.
It'd be like if Mike gave Tony the naked Chris segment and all of a sudden it was naked Tony. I'd be like, all right, I'm going to be a good teammate, but that's my freaking segment, okay?
You should do naked Tony, because naked Chris never wants to do naked Chris anymore.
No, he
you
can't
should,
do it.
Tomorrow we should do a naked Tony segment.
No, no. Okay. I'm Ryan Fitzpatrick now. I don't want that. Too. No. I'm Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Keep your socks on. I'm Ryan Fitzpatrick. Floor sticky.
I'm Fitzpatrick, and I don't want that. I'm a team guy. Wait, what?
Guys, good news.
I don't know what I mean.
I found on this website, healthline.com, it says you may wake up if you use, you know, eye drops before bed. You may wake up with dry eye symptoms like blurry vision, redness, and even gritty sensation in your eyes. That happens sometimes if your eyelids don't close completely while asleep. So I may not be, you know, having bad things. Now I just need to figure out what this chest pain is about.
I actually randomly, like, it's weird that you said blurry vision. In my life, I don't think my vision's good. I don't wear glasses. I don't wear contacts. A couple days ago, I was like watching TV and all of a sudden I looked in my phone and it was like, I was having a moment of like blurry, my eyes were blurred. And I was like, am I having a stroke? I started freaking out.
Were you drinking?
No, this was, no. I went to the fridge. I started chugging water. I laid on my bed. I acted like I was going to sleep. I was like, I need to fix this. I need to like go to sleep and then wake up and have clear vision. That never happened to me before. I was freaking out.
Hmm. What caused it?
I don't know. Maybe just looking at the TV too long or something. Like,
I think maybe the distance, right, Chris? Because that happens to me sometimes when I'm not wearing my glasses, where I'll be looking at the TV and then I'll look really quick at my phone and like the zooming in of the different, like.
But I do that a decent amount, so it was just weird that this one, like, that never happens to me. Like,
why was the first response run and drink water?
I don't know, because it never happens to me. So I'm just like, what could I do right now? And what's in my control that I could do that might help this? And chugging water was one of my first thoughts.
I have been thinking today I need to be drinking more water. So the same thought went to my mind for some reason. I've also been wondering, like, when's the last time I went to the eye doctor? Normally, this is the way my eye doctor works. I don't know about you guys, the eye doctor. My eye doctor, when you go for your yearly appointment, they give you a postcard and they have you write your name and address on the postcard, and you're essentially writing yourself a postcard for the next year. And it's a reminder thing. So you write down, you know, name, address, whatever. And I guess they put a date on it. They put it in a file. And a year later, that postcard that you wrote yourself comes to you in the mail. And it's like, hey, remember to go to the eye doctor. Your annual appointment's coming soon, right? Very helpful. I haven't received that postcard this year. And I'm trying to go back. And I feel like I go usually in August. And then I'm like, was this one of those years that it was supposed to be August? And then I started doing things and it got pushed back to October. But now we're in October and I still haven't received the postcard. And then I'm like, well, is the eye doctor open? Is the eye doctor not open? Because I got a little scratch on one of my lenses the other day. And it's, well, not the other day. At this point, it's been almost a month and a half. But I was like, well, if I'm going to go to the eye doctor in, you know, 2 weeks, there's no point in going and replacing this lens because I'm going to need a new prescription. So I've been dealing with this little scratch. And then I have contacts and I haven't been wearing the contacts. And now I have this blurry vision situation. So I feel like I need to check in with my eye doctor and see what the deal is. But I'm worried if they might be closed. And then the thing about the eye doctor is that when you go to the eye doctor, they sit very close to you, right? So I trust my eye doctor. I trust that my eye doctor's been careful. I trust that my eye doctor's not being irresponsible, but I don't trust his patients. So I don't know if he could have a patient that he was going with the little, you know, the mirror, and they have the light and then they flash the light off the mirror to check like deep into your eye, to check like your eye veins and see what's going on in your eyes and see if there's anything back in the depths of your pupil or whatever. Jeez. They get up close to you, and I'm wondering if they still do that portion of the eye examination or not, because they have to be socially distanced. This eye doctor thing's been it's been weighing on me for some time, as you can see. And now waking up with a blurry vision, I feel like I may have to confront the eye doctor. And the dentist is another one. Have you guys been to the dentist while all this is going on? Because you got to take off the mask and the dentist, and then they're like all up in your mouth.
I have not. I'm trying to be honest. During quarantine, I have not been to
I've been to the dentist a couple times.
I think I went in January.
A couple times.
I remember we talked about it a couple months ago. Or maybe
That was just one of those things you say after the show to get out of post-show work.
No. That was, I had to go to the dentist. What they're doing, and so my sister-in-law runs the office, a dentist office that I go to. So it's kind of hooked up. So I walk in, hey, I'm here. I take off my mask. Everything's good. They have like this UV system in the ventilators that like kills bacteria and all that.
That's what they say.
One thing that's different.
They had those at Hot Wheels. They did nothing but light up the floor.
That is true. I didn't go in with anything glow in the dark though. So I couldn't check for sure. Yeah. They sit you down and they put almost like this mouthpiece in, right? That like expands your, like that.
Oh no.
And then they put like essentially like a vacuum inside your mouth.
Oh God, no. Are you trying to make me not want to go?
I'm doing it for everyone to see. So they do this.
I love that thing. I love the suction thing where it's like, close your mouth and you close your mouth and it.
No, but it's not the suction, like little finger that takes out the blood.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
It's literally like a vacuum that sucks out all your air. So it's like hard to breathe because you're like,
every single time.
Anyways, it makes it experience.
It makes it seem like a cavity is worth having. Like I'd rather have the pain of the cavity for a little bit than have a vacuum be stuck down my throat that's sucking my oxygen out of my lungs.
One more quick thing before we get out of here. Now, everyone yesterday was talking about, you know, Brady's crushing it with the Bucks. The Patriots stink right now. So Belichick is losing to Brady currently in that battle of who did the right decision. Another thing that people weren't thinking about on that loss on Sunday, that was Jimmy Garoppolo that beat Belichick with the 49ers. So like a little cherry on top to all the L's Belichick is taking was the guy he traded away to keep Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, just sticking it to him. man, like I have to say, I'm happy with this way, the way it's working out. Obviously, it's better for the Dolphins if, you know, Belichick loses and Brady wins, but I'm loving Belichick being miserable right now. And that's it. We'll end the local hour like that. All right. Good job, everyone.
Last thing.
It was very important. I'm glad I brought that back.
I got one more last thing, too.
Go ahead.
And Billy, maybe you'd side with me on this because we're fellow glasses wearers.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound really crazy if you don't have it. But if you do have it, you get it. Okay? And there's going to be a lot of people out there that are not going to get it, a lot of people that are going to get it. Do you get squiggly lines sometimes in your eyes? It sounds really weird, but there's sometimes where if I'm doing something where I'm exerting a lot of you know, like if I'm working out, like, and I'm lifting heavy weights or I'm doing something that's exerting me a lot, I sometimes like see squiggly lines.
It looks like stars. Isn't that seeing stars? Isn't that the equivalent of seeing stars?
Maybe.
It's like a bright light, right? Like a little bright thing.
Sometimes
and it, like,
they're
moves
black
on.
And they're like little squiggly black.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And some, maybe not in here, but somebody out there is going to know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Because they have them. They're called like floaters, I think.
Floaters.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but it's like if I'm running 2 miles and I haven't ran in like months and I'm like just done, I'll be so tired that I don't know if they're black, but I'm seeing like flashes of things. And I've always thought that's kind of like the equivalent of like in cartoons when like they're seeing stars.
I've had that sometimes. Now, of course, when I go to the eye doctor, I'm like, have you ever seen floaters? Have you ever seen? I'm like, nope. I'm good because I feel like if I say yes, they're like, we need to take your eye out. Like, we're going to have to take your eye out, get a little sample, send it to the lab. We'll put your eye back in. You'll be missing a little chunk. It'll be fine. And then we'll tell you what it is. And then it comes back. It's like, it was nothing. Don't worry. And then I'm missing like a quarter of my eye or something. They did this to me, like here by my neck. I have like a discoloration. It's not like rosacea, but it's like this discoloration thing. And they're like, we need to get a sample. And they put what appeared to be like a clicky pen, right? As far as I remember, it was very traumatic. They push the button on what appears to be a clicky pen, and it's a little claw that opens up, and then they let go, and it closes, and it sucks off the piece, and then they have to do like a stitch, and I have like this bump here. And then they're like, you know, it's fine. We can do this. Probably just like pop blood vessels in your neck or something. We could do a whole procedure where we take it out, and then, you know, we'll do this and that. It's a couple $1,000s, but you know, there's no guarantee that it'll fix it, but maybe it will. Maybe I'm like, we're good. Like, we're good with your little pen. We're good with your little things that you're taking snips out. And then you give me like a little ball here of a stitch, like enough. So when the doctor says, are you seeing this? Are you feeling that? No, I'm good. I'm 100%. They're like, why'd you come in today? It's like, well, I'm not 100%, but that's what I'm telling you. I don't want to show my weakness to these doctors.
How do you play?
Roy, final thoughts?
No. Goodbye, everybody.
Greg, send us out of here. Tell the people to listen to your podcast.
Hey, everybody. Listen to the Greg Cody Show podcast. Greg doesn't know movies. Big time.
That's a bit on this podcast for people that don't know. A random sentence.
Yeah, I probably should have explained that.
To people that don't know, it's just a random sentence.
Probably might have explained that, but oh well.